You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer, archerradio.com. Today is Friday, April 7th, 2006, and we had some interesting things in the news yesterday. I think the biggest one was that President Bush is practicing hypocrisy. I believe anyone, any intelligent person who has been following what's been going on would know that he is absolutely being hypocritical when he, and this is weird to start this out with this, but he obviously was leaking information and then, totally coming down on people who are leaking information, but yet he's doing it himself. And, you know, of course, as usual, there are better ways to explain this than the way I'm explaining it. So I did record a little bit from the ABC News last night that talks about this, and there was especially a good little bit from George Stephanopoulos on there. So it's a couple minutes long, but this will certainly explain it. And surely by now you've already heard that about this whole thing, but, you know, I like to recap things. Anyway, so take a couple minutes and just listen to this little piece from ABC News from last night.
Good evening. We begin with accusations for the first time that President Bush authorized the leaking of sensitive intelligence gathered before the war in Iraq. Documents unveiled today say the president authorized the leak to help defend his case for going to war. President Bush has been very critical of anyone who leaks information, and his administration has aggressively investigated leakers in the past. ABC's Martha Raddatz joins us now. And Martha, these revelations are part of an investigation that started with the leaking of the identity of a CIA agent named Valerie Plame.
That's right, Elizabeth. There's absolutely no indication that the president and the vice president are involved in those leaks. But as you say, the president has been highly critical of anyone who leaks any information. But according to these documents, he was doing it himself. The revelations come from sworn grand jury testimony by Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff, Scooter Libby. According to court filings, Libby said he received approval from the president through the vice president to leak parts of the highly classified national intelligence estimate to New York Times reporter Judith Miller. The reason? To back up the administration's claims that Saddam Hussein was trying to develop nuclear weapons. For years, the president has strongly condemned leaks and promised punishment to those who do.
I've constantly expressed my displeasure with leaks, particularly leaks of classified information.
Let me just say something about leaks in Washington. There are too many leaks of classified information in Washington.
In fact, the Bush administration has vigorously pursued investigations of those who leak documents pertaining to the secret domestic spying program and to disclosures of secret prisons run overseas. The court filings say the authorization for the leak came in July of 2003 as the Bush administration was under increasing pressure for its reasons to go to war in Iraq, including an op-ed piece written by Ambassador Joe Wilson, which said some of the intelligence related to Iraq's nuclear weapons program was twisted to exaggerate the Iraqi threat. The court filings say that Libby, who is under indictment for perjury, was given approval to leak the national intelligence estimate because the vice president felt it disputed some of what Wilson said.
The leaking of classified information, the rampant violation of the national security of the country for political purposes by senior officials in the administration still hold their security clearances, I think, is an outrage.
The president does have the legal power to declassify documents through an executive order, but should refer to the agency head from where it came.
The fact that the president has raw constitutional authority to do this does not mean that it's free from criticism or censure, because it is an abuse of the classification process.
The White House had no comment on this, Elizabeth, today, other than to say the investigation is ongoing.
All right, Martha, thank you. We turn now to ABC's chief Washington correspondent, George Stephanopoulos. And George, people in politics leak information all the time. How unusual is it for the President of the United States to be authorizing this kind of leaking?
I've never heard it anything like it before, Elizabeth. You're right. Staffers and bureaucrats leak classified information all the time, but I've never heard of a formal declassification by the President of the United States to a single reporter. The normal process is to have it go to the intelligence agencies, make sure they scrub it for any compromising information to national security, and then release it to everyone, the general public or the Congress. All intelligence experts I spoke to today said it was irregular, and one said it smells because it's selective leaking to a favored reporter.
Democrats were quick to call this hypocrisy.
They sure were. Jane Harman, the top House Democrat on intelligence matters, said it was breathtaking to learn the president is leaker-in-chief. And what they're upset about is that the White House has taken a very hard line with Congress, said they're not going to share classified information with Congress because of concerns of leaks. And then they say the president has a pattern of doing it himself.
All right. George Stephanopoulos, thank you. I'm sure we'll hear more about this in days to come.
So, yeah, can you believe that? You know, it's like surprise, surprise. The Bush administration coming down hard on people who leak, and then they turn around and leak information themselves. I know that there is a process that he's supposed to go through to declassify information, which he did not. He did it on his own and then told Scooter Libby to let it out. I mean, one more thing. One more reason that this man should not be president. I mean, every week there is something against Bush. I mean, it's perfect, but why can't we get rid of him? Why can't there be some, you know, Democrats who will stand up and say it's time to impeach this man? He led us to war for absolutely no reason. It is just time to get rid of him. And to think that we have to live with him for another couple of years is just crazy. I don't like it. I don't like him. Never have. Never will. But I will move on to other things. In other news that I heard today on the news, I heard that, you know, as you know, hurricane season is coming up, and we had those horrendous hurricanes last year, Katrina being one of them. Well, they announced today that an international panel has decided to retire five of the worst names from hurricanes last year. And on the list, of course, the tops of the list is Katrina. And then there's Rita, Dennis, Wilma, and Stan. Those were five of the worst hurricanes last year, and they have decided to retire those names. Now, what that means is in future hurricane seasons, you will not hear of hurricanes named one of those five names. So no more Katrina, no more Rita, no more Dennis, no more Wilma, no more Stan. And at the same time, they announced some names that you might hear this next hurricane season. And some of those names are Alberto, Chris, Isaac, Kirk, Patty, and Valerie. That'll be interesting to hear. Hurricane Patty. But, so they announced those names today. And I hope we don't hear those names. I hope we don't hear any names. But I do have a fear that the Mid-Atlantic region is due for a direct hit from a hurricane, I think. We haven't had one the last major one was 1972, which was Hurricane Agnes, and I don't think we're going to get away with not seeing a big hurricane hit the Mid-Atlantic states. We'll see. Let's just hope, cross our fingers and hope not. So, let me tell you a little story. I got up this morning, and I wake up and I turn on the computer and turn on the TV and then go get a glass of juice and go to the bathroom and, you know, usual typical routine. Well, I come back to the computer to check the email, and it's got those little, error messages saying that it couldn't check the mail for some reason. So I look at my cable modem, and the cable modem is out. My cable on the TV's working, I have power and all that, but the actual cable modem is not getting a signal from the cable company for my internet access. So I instantly start to panic. It's like, oh my God, I can't post my show for today. I can't check my email. I have no idea. I can't browse the websites. I'm like, oh my God, I can't live without internet. So what do? I sit there and think for a couple of minutes as I'm slowly waking up, because I'm a slow waker upper. I don't know what that means, but so I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, holy shit, what can I do? So then I realize and remember that, hey, I have wireless built into my computer. Let's just simply browse and see who is living close to me, who has their internet, wireless internet access turned on and does not have it password protected. So what do? I click on airport, and there's like about six different wireless networks around me. But like, of course, five of the six of them are password protected, and I get to one that of course, and I figured this one would not be password protected because it's named the same name as their piece of equipment, I'm sure, Linksys. Anything named Linksys, of course, is going to be a wireless internet connection without a password. So what do? I click on that, and sure enough, power's right up, full signal, and I have internet access. So before I lose it and someone realizes it and turns it off, I quickly upload my show and check my email. And sure enough, I'm able to do all that. And I was able to post the show at the regular time and, you know, check my email and stuff, and no problems at all. And then I'm thinking, you know, surely this cable modem is working and everything. And I probably just have to unplug it and plug it back in. So after I did all the email and posting the show, I'm thinking, okay, now I'm going to check the cable modem and unplug it. You know what you can do? You can just unplug it from the power, let it sit for like 5 to 10 seconds, and then plug it back in, and then it has to re-register with the cable company. So sure enough, I unplug it, let it sit there for a couple seconds, plug it back in, and my signal is returned. Thank goodness, because you know what? I have just gotten too used to having internet access, and not just internet access, but high-speed internet access. I have the highest, I don't even know what it is, 15 megabits per second internet access through Cox Cable. I have the Premier whatever account, and you get the fastest speed. And I don't know what I would do without it, because I can, you know, download all the podcasts and the videos, whatever, through the iTunes in a matter of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes. And, you know, web pages load in a blink of an eye. So I don't know what I would do without internet access. And that actually worries me because, as you know, next week is spring break, and I will be going with the boyfriend to Louisiana, to New Orleans, and they don't have any internet access down there. And what they do have is dial-up, or it's very limited, and I won't be in the areas where they're going to have internet access. So, you know, just to warn you all now, next week from Tuesday till Saturday night, you will not be able to get any email from me or any shows from me because there's no internet access down there. So just be prepared. If you email me, you're going to have to wait for almost a week to get a reply. So I basically cannot live without my internet. I realized that this morning that, you know, I don't know what I did before without internet. It's amazing how I've conditioned. Oh my gosh, please excuse me. That was so rude. I know. Please forgive me. So anyway, as I was saying, I come to realize that I cannot live without internet, and I can't imagine what I would have done without it. And it makes me realize that, you know, shit, I need to think of other things to do, you know, besides relying on the internet. It's just crazy. Now let's move on to comments, listener email and comments. As you know, I don't know what's been going on, but you guys have just been so good about like sending emails and comments, putting comments on the website. First of all, I guess before I get into the comments, I need to correct something that I messed up on yesterday. I thought that the last Guess the Sitcom theme song that I posted was the Northern Exposure one, but as it turns out, I forgot that I had posted another one on Tuesday, and it was The Scarecrow and Mrs. King. That was the one that I said I didn't know what it was, and I was just going to stick it in there. Well, I've totally forgotten about it, but we got a comment from... who was it from? Let me look. God damn it. Now I can't find it. I guess I should go to the email and find out. Let's see. Arch Radio. Oh, it was from Mike P. from Squamish, British Columbia. I totally forgot. Mike, you have to forgive me. But you are correct. It was The Scarecrow and Mrs. King with Bruce Boxleitner and Kate Jackson. So Mike Perry from Squamish, British Columbia guessed that correctly. And you know what? See, Mike, I had totally forgotten about it. So anybody who had listened to it and maybe had a guess for it, They didn't email me, so you're the only one who has guessed the Scarecrow and Mrs. King. You know, because I was making such a big deal about Northern Exposure, I totally forgot about the Scarecrow and Mrs. King. That was a show that I watched, you know, on occasion. I wasn't a loyal viewer of that show, but I did watch it, you know, and I guess I have to admit that at one time I thought Bruce Boxleitner was cute, but, you know, he's old now, just like the rest of us. But anyway, I should go on to say that, Mike Perry, you're the only one who guessed The Scarecrow and Mrs. King. And speaking of the Guess the Sitcom theme song, I'm not going to have one today. I probably won't even have one until next Monday, because I just have fallen behind on getting those. But anyway, back to listener email and comments. Mike Perry went on to talk a little bit more about Northern Exposure, because he gave pretty much the same information that we got from other people, that Rob Moreau was playing Dr. Joel Fleischman, and John Corbett, who played the DJ Chris Stevens. And he says, I still think that John Corbett is hot, but I was pissed off when he cut his hair short on the show. He looked better with longer hair. You know, Mike, I have a feeling that my boyfriend would agree with you. I totally agree. And he says, I don't remember if the Maurice character officiated at the gay couple's wedding. I remember his character being really homophobic. Yeah, I think you're right about that. Somebody else mentioned that I talked about on yesterday's show. But you're right about that. Now, we got like 5 or 6 emails overnight, so let me just go into these. We got an email from Jeff at Fido.com. You know, he and Eric, his partner, are one of our most loyal supporters of Archer Radio, and he's been listening to a couple shows lately, and he kind of talked about a couple things all in one email, and he numbered them. It was so cute. He says, I was listening to the Sex Ed podcast and wanted to comment on a few things. Number one, you're sounding as bitchy as me today. I love it. Jeff, I don't remember myself sounding so bitchy, but I apologize if I was. I'm sorry to hear that you were in a bitchy mood too that day, but, you know, shit happens. Anyway, and he says, number two, you are spot on with that Jill girl, the reporter. Thank you for your support on that, Jeff. I appreciate it. And number three, he says, I loved Northern Exposure. The guy in charge of the town, can't remember his name. Was it Randy Quaid? No, it was not Randy Quaid. I know that for sure. It was not Randy Quaid. He says, anyway, he was a retired astronaut and a mayor, I think. And yes, he did marry a gay couple, I think. They ran a B&B. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't remember enough about it, and we're getting different things from different people. But anyway, thanks for the input on Northern Exposure, Jeff. And then Jeff goes, one more thing about the Easter candy thing. He says, I don't buy the Easter myth either, but I love those Cadbury eggs. Hope you had some milk with them. Actually, I didn't have any milk with them, Jeff, but you know I totally enjoyed them. So thanks for the email, Jeff, and the comments about the shows. Now, I did get an email from Paul about this thing he found on gaywire.com. He says, an interesting article. Are your listeners straight tolerant? I don't know, but I didn't read the article, Paul. You'll have to forgive me, but I'll have to read it because it looks a little lengthy and I don't really have too much time. But Paul, I will read it, so just hang in there. But thanks for the email. And then we heard from Jeff again from Fido.com, letting me know that the Thunderstorm video does not play on the video iPod. Well, Jeff, this goes back to something I've been doing with the videos for a while now, that I just don't like the way the iMovie or iTunes compresses the file for the video. So, and since I don't know enough people who are using the video iPod, I don't like to compress it in that format. So I just leave it the way it is, and people just have to watch it through iTunes. Sorry about that. I know people would love to use their video iPod, but I just don't like the way they compress the video. So forgive me, Jeff. You'll just have to watch it, you know, the regular way in iTunes. And then finally, the final email we got was from Mapusant. Excuse me. And I believe he's in Canada. I can't remember. I think he is in Canada. But anyway, he was sending us comments from the art exhibit podcast that we had on Monday's show. And he admits, he says, I'm a bit late in commenting on Monday's show, but I couldn't get around to it before. I was interested to listen to your reaction to the art exhibit, particularly the Dada work. I find that era intriguing. And then he goes on to say, it's easy for those of us born after World War II not to realize how apocalyptic, especially for Europeans. World War One was. The generation coming of age after that grew up, as Scott Fitzgerald put it, to find all gods dead, all wars fought, all faiths in man shaken. The old order had failed. Over in physics, the nice, orderly world of the 19th century had fallen through the rabbit hole to the Alice in Wonderland world of relativity and quantum mechanics. The work of people like Werner Heisenberg, Alonzo Church, and Kirk Gödel in the 1930s was dealing a kind of death blow to even the theoretical possibility of certainty. Those Dada guys were so perceptive that they understood the kind of change happening while they were still smack in the middle of it. Clearly, the time had come to celebrate illogic, randomness, and chance. That is so true, and that's a great way to look at that, Maupassant. I appreciate it. That actually clarifies it a bit for me to realize that those artists were so understanding of the times that they were reacting to it at the time, where most people react afterwards. I actually really like that the way you said that, Maupassant. I really appreciate it. And no, you were not being pedantic at all with your comments. So thank you so much for that email. I really enjoyed that. Now let's hop over to Archer Radio and check out the comments there on the website. Excuse me. Oh my goodness, I keep doing that. I do that on every fucking show. Do you realize that? Anyway, Homer wrote, because this is commenting on yesterday's show that was entitled New Voicemail Number. Homer wrote, because I was talking about getting on the airplane and flying to New Orleans. For the third time, Homer wrote, Archer, have a couple of drinks at the airport lounge before you get on the flying tube of turbulence. Don't be scared. Homer, thanks for putting it like that, the flying tube of turbulence. That means I have to look forward to turbulence, and you know I can't stand. Oh, but anyway, thank you for the comment. And then Jeff, again from Fido. I'm telling you, those Fido guys, they are keeping up with Archer Radio like you wouldn't believe, and I really appreciate it. Jeff from Fido says, man, Archer, this is terrible. Oh, he was commenting, I should preface this by saying, he was commenting on the bars in D.C. that are being closed because of the new stadium that they're building for the D.C. Nationals. Anyway, he goes on, he says, man, Archer, this is terrible. D.C. is one of my favorite cities, and I always loved going down there to see the strippers. It's kind of scary late at night, but I've never had any problems. I hope the bars will have a place to go. The same sort of thing is happening in Atlanta. Development has forced several bars to close their doors. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Jeff. That was so nice of you. Man, I'm feeling the love on Archer Radio. You guys have been so good about commenting and sending emails and participating in the Guess the Theme Song. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I feel so loved. Thank you so much. And speaking of love, let's take a look at the Frapper Map. I haven't talked about the Frapper Map for like a week, but, you know, you get those stupid updating emails. I don't know if you guys who put yourselves on the Frapper Map keep getting those, but I hate them. Because they keep, one person joins the Frapper Map and you get this updated email. Well, like 2 weeks ago, I quit doing it, so I don't know who's been joining the map. But according to the Frapper Map statistics, we are up to 70 members. That's very good. That's actually very good. And the latest ones on, I guess since I've talked about this, on March 29th, Mark and Tony from Philadelphia joined. On March 31st, L squared 17 from Chicago joined, and Mark in Lexington, Kentucky joined on April 2nd. So thank you guys for joining. We're up to 70. Now, I won't go into the whole competition with Little Fatty Cast because that's kind of died down. I don't think there's anything going with that. So plus, you know, it's just in fun anyway. Okay, well, let's see now. Let's see, what else did I have on my list? I think that's all. Now, as you know, today is Friday, and the boyfriend's coming over. Oh, I should tell you about the weekend, because we do have things planned for the weekend. But let me clear my throat first. So sorry. I know that's extremely rude. It's just like burping, but can't help it. I start talking, and the phlegm starts flowing, and I have to cough it up. Anyway, the weekend. Okay, so today's Friday. The boyfriend's coming over tonight, and I think we're going to watch the movie Crash. I record it from Showtime on the DVR, and I think we'll watch it because we didn't see it during Oscar time. And I want to see why it's so good, why people think it's so good, because I know I'm not going to think it's very good. But anyway, then on Saturday, tomorrow, I have a photo shoot with a naked man. This is one model that we have worked with before. My artist friend Bob is coming up from the northern neck of Virginia, and we are going to have a photo shoot with this guy's actually one of our favorite models because he has a great body. He's got this really trimmed, clipped chest. He's got a nice-sized penis, and he just takes direction well. He does a lot of it naturally. We just say, you know, do something, and we'll take pictures. And as it turns out, the artwork that I create from his pictures sells very well on eBay. As a matter of fact, last Sunday when my most recent auctions were ended, one piece of his, a picture of him, sold for $76. So I was very pleased with that. So that means I need to get more of him up there. But anyway, so Saturday we have the photo shoot during the day, and then Saturday night, the boyfriend and I are going to a vertical wine tasting at Grey Ghost Winery. Now, a vertical wine tasting, for those of you who are unfamiliar with this, it's where you actually get to taste. Oh, maybe we talked about this before because we went one time before, but in any case, I'll tell you again. A vertical wine tasting is where you have a meal, a dinner, and in front of you is placed what's called a flight of glasses, a flight of wine. And it's from, each glass is from a different vintage year of one specific wine. For example, this Saturday evening, it will be the Cabernet Sauvignon, and I believe it goes back to 1993. And I believe it goes through 2003. So it's actually going to be a decade of Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, of course, they don't produce it every single year. But I think it's just going to be six to eight different vintages on this flight, and it's going to be cool to you know, compare and contrast the different wines from different years, and to see, you know, like good years and bad years, and how they were able to produce the wine and so forth. In any case, we're going to get all dressed up, and we're going to go there, and we're going to have a nice dinner and taste these different vintage years of Cabernet Sauvignon. It's really fun. We did it once before with Merlots and Cab Francs, I think. In any case, it's always something we enjoy, so we're doing that on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, that's when I think the boyfriend and I will record our last podcast before our vacation to New Orleans. As I told you last night, we have those three topics we want to discuss, and I want to talk about the flight to New Orleans and so forth. Anyway, so I haven't told him this yet, but I hope to record a podcast on Sunday, sometime Sunday, to post on Monday as our last podcast before we go to New Orleans. And that will be, this is show 195, and then Monday's show will be 196, and then you won't get another one until a week from Monday, which would be the 17th of April. And then on April 20th is the 1 year anniversary of Archer Radio. And I kind of am trying to plan it so that the 200th episode is on the 1 year anniversary of Archer Radio. So again, I need to ask you all to send in your MP3 files for congratulations, or, you know, anything you'd like to say for Archer Radio for our 200th show. I know several people have them in the works, and they're going to send them. So get on the ball and work on those. And remember, even if you can't record an MP3 file, you can call the listener voice line and record a message there, and it will be played. And as you heard yesterday, we have the new voicemail line, which is 206-666-1876. And you can leave a message. So please do that. All right, enough for now. I hope you guys have had a great Friday, or are having a great Friday, and that you have a great weekend. And tune in Monday for a show with the boyfriend. Hopefully, if it works. All right, boys and girls, thanks for listening, and I will talk to you on Monday. So until next time, bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.